Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're listening to Talk with Renee Dallow, episode 191. Talk about ditching the shame around help with Kara McKeague. Kara McKeague is the founder of Pepper's Personal Assistance, a sourcing and placement agency for highly vetted personal assistance. With the belief that support is not a luxury, support is a necessity. Kara is dedicated to helping professional women let go of the shame around outsourcing household tasks so that they can find more time, feel organized, and have peace of mind. Kara provides a guide, framework, and support for overcoming burnout by releasing the fear of delegation, outsourcing all those things in the home that you have no interest in doing, and having a successful relationship with their personal assistants. Friends, if you have been wanting to outsource, but you are reluctant to admit that you need help or think that there is some stigma around it, listen, this is the episode for you. Go grab yourself some coffee, grab yourself some tea, friends. We're going to talk it out.
Welcome to Talk with Renee Dallow, biz chat for wedding pros and creatives. Tune in every week for no BS real talk from industry experts that want to help you thrive in your business and your life. Here's your host, event planner, educator, and sushi addict, Renee Dallow. Grab a glass and get ready to talk it out.
Hello, hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of Talk with Renee Dallow. It is me, your host, Renee Dallow, and this week I am joined by the lovely Kara McKeague. Kara, how are you?
I'm great.
Did I say your name correctly?
You did. Yay! You did great. Good job.
You guys, it's a whole thing that happens before we start recording where I'm like, I stress. I'm like, did I do it?
Yes.
Kara, thanks for being here. You are here to talk about something that is just like necessary, but also, I don't know, I feel a little anxious about this topic. It's about getting rid of the shame, ditching the shame around asking for help.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're not the only one that gets anxious.
Well, I'm assuming that like this is your topic because maybe you also had this journey.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's been an 11-year journey and I feel like every year I'm getting better and better at it. So this year has been a pretty pivotal year for me to outsource and just finally figuring it out.
Yeah. Right?
Of like it makes so much sense to hire other people to do the things that I'm not good at, don't have time to do, hate doing, you know, it's a big thing. So I want to normalize it, especially for women.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, we just have such a hard time delegating and being okay with, you know, not doing it all.
Yeah. Well, so. There's this societal thing about, right, how like women are, we should be able to do it all. We should be able to run a business, raise kids, have social relationships, have a spouse or a partner, have pets, you know, look good, work out, eat well, hydrate, sleep. Well, I'm sorry. How many hours does everyone else have in their day? Right? It's a very almost impossible bar to meet, I feel. Do you feel the same?
Oh, definitely. Like, where else in society do we expect everyone to do it all? Like, it's not something that should be normal. Yeah. So when you look at high achieving people, they're high achieving because they have so many people supporting them.
Right.
You know, so it's figuring out that little clue of like, oh, Bill Gates is not doing it all. Right.
Like, no, I imagine he's probably doing very little.
Very little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are so many of us, and I say us, meaning speaking from my own experience, women, right? Why are we so reluctant to admit that we would like help?
I think, I mean, there's literally a million reasons, right? Everybody has their own reasons. So I don't want to, you know, put too much into one thing, but I think a lot of it is just society, right? We've been brought up, we're, you know, I'm Gen X, and it's like we're the first generation that didn't know you couldn't get a credit card, you know,
before. Yes, I'm Gen X as well. Yeah.
Co-signer. So it's like we're figuring it out, right, as this first generation of independent women that have a lot of opportunity and don't have to rely on anybody. And so, you know, I think it's just the pendulum is swinging and we're finding the middle ground.
I also think too, at least I'll speak for myself, like I grew up pretty, I say the word poor and I know people hate when I say that, but like I grew up with not a lot, I'll say that, right? So the idea of being financially secure enough to hire someone to help me do something that society thinks I should be able to do myself, it is a privilege, but it also, I had to sort of contend with like, oh God, am I the kind of person who, fill in the blank. And I had to really work on sort of removing that language for myself because like, yeah, I am the kind of person who doesn't have enough time to clean my own bathrooms and also run two businesses. And that's okay. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it depends too on what you're hiring for, right? We don't have any shame when we hire an executive assistant because that's okay.
Right.
It's the same thing, whether you're hiring a pet sitter or, you know, a house cleaner, you're giving people opportunity. And I think that's one way to look at it too, is you're providing jobs for people and supporting you know, people that may be looking for a part-time way to provide for their family and flexibility. And so there's ways that you can look at it, you know, and it's about treating people with respect and gratitude, you know, as well that are in those roles.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of people that kind of think, oh, it's only for the rich and, you know, ultra wealthy people.
It really
that
isn't.
Can do that.
It really isn't. And I think Also from my experience, I think my husband and I have avoided so many disagreements because we have some household help where I think if I felt the burden in our relationship of being the person who was quote unquote supposed to, do his laundry, keep a clean kitchen, like this sort of antiquated 1950s household view, I would be very unhappy with that. And I think he would as well. So sometimes I say to people who are reluctant, it's like, well, what other problems could it solve aside from the who no one wants to clean the bathrooms problem, right?
Exactly.
Like there's always, you can always find something deeper too. And I love what you said about like providing jobs for people, like that's major. What are some signs that people should look like, what are some signs that you think show that someone could benefit from having like a personal assistant or household help?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is if you're in overwhelm, and I think like you said, like with a partner, if you guys are fighting over who's going to be doing what, and you know, neither one of you want to do it because you both know that there's better ways to spend your time.
Yeah.
You know, those are two really good signs. And you can start really small, right? You don't have to have like a full-time household assistant. You can start with 5 hours a week or hiring, you know, the teenager down the street to come do, you know, some of the chores and errands for you and things like that. So, you know, I think a lot of people have in their head, like, it's this full-time huge commitment, you know, that they can't afford. But you can start really small, you know, just kind of brainstorming, like, what are the things I don't need to be doing that somebody else could easily do and I can afford, you know, to outsource it.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, I looked around the house, this was earlier this year, and I was just like, there were these projects that I kept saying, like, well, one day I will reorganize all the closets, right? One day, one fictional future day when I have all this time, I'm gonna, I'm gonna home edit all of my closets. And like, between you and me, Kara, like that, I knew that day was never gonna come. My husband knew, everyone who knows me knew I was never gonna do it. And then one of my assistants, who used to be a wedding day assistant, reached out to me and said, hey, do you need any help? And you know, I did not think to reach out to her. She came to me, and when she offered me, I was like, you know what? Do you have any interest in this specific thing? She's like, oh my God, I would love that. Like that kind of scratches part of my brain that I would love to use. And she turned this house around, and I felt great about paying her. It was a limited, it was project-based. It wasn't like she was, you know, doing it forever. I think sometimes when we allow someone to help us, it really opens our eyes to other things that we might make easier for ourselves if we just say, yes, I need help. Now, even in that scenario, I just said, she came to me. right? How much more powerful would it have been to look around my house to say, okay, this is what I need help with. Let me go find someone. Who can I outsource this to? And I think sometimes we feel shy about that, you know, the asking.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, though, is that you said yes, right? When people offer to help, say yes, because I think that's a great place to start. But hiring somebody can be super intimidating.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
It's where to start?
Well, where to start? Do I trust this person? Thankfully, I've known her for years. She's assisted me at weddings. So like I still have ultimate trust in her. But that's the part too, right? Like, who can I trust to be in my home? It's all very valid and valuable questions to ask yourself. Just what are some tasks that a personal assistant could do for someone? Because I think when we list them, people sometimes go like, oh, right. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you the most popular tasks in our business, people that call us, it's laundry. We do that start to finish because, you know, most families, it's like either one or the other gets done, right? It's not the whole thing. And then vendor management is huge, right? If you need the gutters cleaned or the furnace serviced or, you know, new landscaper, like that's really time consuming, right? And you need to go find people to come do the quotes. You have to be there. You have to decide. Like one of the things our clients love is that the PA is saying, the personal assistant is saying to them, you know, here's three quotes. I think you should pick this one because X, Y, Z. And so it takes that decision fatigue off the client, which is huge.
It's like what wedding planners do for our clients.
Exactly.
We're like, here are three photographers. This is the one you should pick. This is the one I like for you. I love it. I love that context too, because for all my wedding planners listening, and we all think we can and should know how to do everything. And it's like, no, girl, like get someone else to track down someone to clean your gutters. Like it's not you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So the laundry is interesting to me because so many of my friends nationwide, not specifically in my market, who have families outsource their laundry services. And I find it so fascinating. And I feel like it's my next frontier to be like, I don't want to do my own laundry. Like I do it. And my husband and I actually do our own laundry because I've told him to never touch my stuff because once the poor man put a cashmere sweater in the dryer and the washer he's never heard the end of it. It came out looking like it was meant for a doll. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. So now we do our separate laundry, but how nice would it be to not have that as a task every week?
Yeah.
I know some people outsource cooking. Is that something that you guys do as well? Or is that a different assistant level?
Yeah, definitely. And in that, you know, same thing where we're doing the meal planning, getting all the items at the grocery store, and then either prepping it, you know, some of our clients like to cook, but we'll chop up all the veggies and, you know, get everything prepped so they can just throw it together, or we're doing, you know, the actual cooking of it. So
yeah, I love cooking, but I don't love shopping.
Yes.
That would be nice to outsource, right? I feel like when I talk about this with folks individually, right? One of the objections that people sometimes have is like, yeah, but then you have to be so like regimented. You have to be so scheduled with everything, right? Like I like to cook whatever I want every night. It's like, so how much of your clients or how many of your clients do feel pretty regimented to you?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, oftentimes we're doing like maybe 2 to 3 meals a day or a week, you know, so it gives them the flexibility if they want to go out or they want to cook something or, I mean, all of our clients are extremely unique. I wouldn't say there's any two clients that are exactly the same, you know, so that's the benefit too, right? Is figuring out what your client needs and being able to provide, you know, that customized service to them. So if people are looking to hire somebody, I always recommend like just do a brain dump of all the things you want to get off your plate, figure out which ones are like a must have and which ones are a nice to have.
Yeah.
And then find that person, right? That's going to fit in with what your needs are. Cause there's so many different tasks that you can get help with.
Yeah. What else? So we talked about cooking, laundry, obviously we know housekeeping.
Yeah.
Scheduling like vendors. What else?
Yeah, pet care is a big one.
Yes.
Seattle, where I'm at, there's a lot of people who their pets are their babies. And so we're taking them, you know, to daycare and to the vet and, you know, sending a million photos to the client to, you know, check in and let them know how their little fur babies are doing, which I love, you know.
My favorite. I love my dogs. Yeah.
And then, you know, things like just home management, right? We have a home maintenance guide where it's like in February, you need to be thinking 3 months ahead of like, who do you need to schedule to come right. turn on the sprinklers? Or Seattle area anyways, it's like August, you need to be scheduling the person to come put the Christmas lights on.
Oh, yeah. All that you seasonal know? Stuff, right?
Right, yeah. So, you know, we're thinking ahead. So it's just completely out of their mind space. And that's the biggest benefit.
That makes sense, too. I know at certain busier times of business and life, I've had various help with like running errands, returning things,
yeah.
Especially like post-wedding returns, like linens and Target runs and just right. any of those things that are like anything that you find, at least for me, anything I find myself being pulled away from my work during the week to do that I don't have to be the one to go to the post office. Or I know these things sound yeah. so mundane and you're like, well, how much time could they possibly take? Okay, well, I live in Los Angeles. So
yeah.
everything takes more time than it should because we live in a city where, you know, it could take you a half an hour to go 5 miles. And right. that's not even an exaggeration, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like, how much is your time worth? And I know we talk about that a lot on the show over the years. We've definitely addressed like, well, how much is your time worth? And what does it really mean to you? But I guess my point is I want to get away from us asking that question in all these minute areas. I want you to think overall. How much time right. are you spending away from your work during the week that isn't on something that fills your cup, like being with your family or your kids or leisure or creativity? If you are running around on your off time doing errands,
yeah,
maybe this is time to consider getting the help, getting some hands-on help. So no, in my industry, in the wedding industry, we talk a lot about virtual assistants, right? Like people can help with emails and all that. And that's great. But that can only buy back so much of your time, I think. I have found, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but I'll say this for real. I have found more satisfaction in outsourcing some of my household and personal items than I have with my VA stuff.
Yeah, it yeah. totally makes sense. When you think about like hiring a house cleaner, and that day you come home after the house cleaner has been there, like it's huge.
It's a game changer. And like our housekeeper, yeah. Alma, she used to work for like the Hilton. She used to work for hotel chains. When I tell you this woman cleans this house, like such a professional level that now we just, when she's coming, we're like, we're gone for the day. We're going to go hiking or we'll do something to get out of the house and leave her alone
yes.
for the day. Cause we're like, we just want you to do your job and do it well, but we will pay her whatever she wants because we're obsessed. Like, we have no interest in, first of all, we don't have the skill. Let's be honest. We do not have the right. skill to clean yeah. the house the way she does. And the amount of like comfort and like just ease it is after she's been here. And she only comes every other week, right? It's just like a deep breath. You go like, okay, now we can like go back to doing the stuff we're meant to do. Yeah. And I just think it's a gift you give yourself, right? Hiring help in this way.
Yeah.
I just can't stress it enough. I wish that I had the ability and it's a goal of mine to outsource even more of my personal mm-hmm. stuff, So, okay. So someone's listening to us and they're like, fine. We get it. Yes. How do we find someone in this personal assistant realm?
Yeah. So I think, you know, like you were mentioning, you know, somebody that's in your network is always a great place to start or just start asking around because it is ideal if you know the person, right? And you have somebody who knows them and, you know, because it is hard to trust having somebody come into your home. You know, it's a pretty vulnerable feeling. It's totally worth it, but you know, you have to put in the time and effort to make sure that the person is trustworthy. If you don't have anybody in your network, you know, you can post a job ad. Just make sure that you're doing like a phone call reference check of people they've worked with before, yeah. doing a thorough background check. You know, those are the two most important things to do. And somebody doesn't necessarily have to have a personal assistant background. You know, there's a million jobs that, you know, that feed into somebody who, you know, is good at doing the household tasks, especially if they've run their own home, yes. you know, obviously. And the biggest thing is that they enjoy it, right? Like
right.
it brings them joy. that's the person that you want. Because, you know, we get so many women calling that they're just like, I am not good at running my household.
Yes.
Like, that's not something I'm good at. I hate it. It drains me. You know, so we're like, let's put somebody in there that loves it, right?
Yes.
That gets giddy when they organize a linen closet or, you know, give you back the time, you know, that you need and that sort of thing, you know, kind of a heart-centered person that just yes. likes making life easier for others. So
yeah. So I used
that's what we focus on.
I used to own another business that was service-based, and it required me to like go into people's homes every day, right? And I remember there was this house manager that I became friends with because I was at the house every day, and so was she. And I remember thinking, like, this woman was so just, she was so warm and friendly and lovely. And she ran, it was like a mansion, and she ran that thing as if it were hers. And right. I remember thinking, I don't know if I could do that job, right? Because she was so invested in the kids and the dogs and the running of the house. Like, she was a live-in house manager.
Okay.
And I live in LA, so like, you know,
right,
just think of the normal. It's very, very normal to have a house manager yeah. here if you're of a certain, you know, income bracket. And I just remember feeling so, it was just admired her so much because she was so invested in this. And I think about her sometimes being in my position now, I'm certainly in a different, you know, position financially and just in my age and status and all those other things, that it's like, she really loved her job, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's important to think about. Like, just because we don't like these tasks, sometimes I fell into this category of, I never wanted to hire someone to do something that I hated because I hated it. How could this person love it? How could they love doing my laundry?
Right.
It's horrible. You're giving someone a horrible job. And then you have to remind yourself that, like, everyone's built differently. And some people mm-hmm. love doing laundry.
They love laundry. I have people on my team that love laundry. I'm like, okay.
You're like, oh, okay.
They're a huge gift, right? Because
yes.
it's, you can put them with that family with six kids that, you know, has three loads of laundry a day. So,
I know. Well, you know what's funny? Even when I lived in New York City, so I'm originally from New York, and when I lived there, I was a performer, and I lived in this apartment on the Upper West Side that didn't have any laundry in the building or in the unit. I mean, God knows, this was the 90s. But there was like a laundry service around the corner. So everyone in my building would walk their giant bags of laundry over to the service, and then we'd get it back in this neat square. It was right. It was so satisfying, all wrapped up.
Yeah.
And then all you had to do was come home and put everything in the drawers. And I've never been more organized in my life. And I was like 22 yes. when this happened. And I remember thinking back then, it didn't feel luxurious because it was practical. Like, it had to,
yeah.
How else was I going to have my clothes washed? Like, there was no other laundromat around. And now I think 20 something years later, right? Like, how interesting that it was so normal to me younger. And now it's like, well, I couldn't possibly, right? It's like, oh,
right.
Paying someone, not because here's my, this is like so specific. It's not the doing of the laundry. I'm sure everyone listening is going to nod, is going to like, I'm into this. It's folding and putting it away.
Yes.
My husband has ADHD. This laundry never gets put away. It just lives in different baskets. And we wonder, is it clean? Where did it
right.
come from? Is this basket of socks? What is this basket of socks? And how long has it been here? Like, it's chaos. So just having someone to do that feels like, oh my God, what a luxury. What a gift.
Yes. Yeah.
This might not be a fair question because you might only know your market, but just generally, because I know people are thinking it, right? What could we expect to pay someone in a, like, to do laundry, to say?
So if you're just needing laundry, I definitely recommend with the services that you're talking about. They're popping up all over the place where they come pick up the bag of laundry and drop it off.
Yeah.
Like, that's definitely biggest bang for your buck. If you're looking for other household tasks, that's great because somebody can, like, cook dinner while the laundry is going, right? And so it's an added bonus. But it definitely depends on the market. But I would say, you know, one good thing is to look at what nannies are being paid in your market, and it's going to be around that.
Yeah.
Again, it depends on the tasks as well, right? A household manager is going to be paid a lot more than a household assistant that you're just giving a list to and saying getting it done.
Yeah.
But just for an example, in the Seattle market, it's about $30 to $35 an hour
yeah.
Is what kind of the market rate is. And, you know, we can look at across the nation, like, what the
sure.
going rate is.
That feels like a solid rate for a major city. Like, I feel like anyone
yeah.
in a major city, and then rural, and then like more rural or suburban, who knows, right? But that's, I like that as a benchmark, because I know that's what everyone's thinking, right? But the other thing to think too is that, like, so even if that number felt high to you when you, as a listener, just know that like these people are, they want to be efficient, right? Right? They're more efficient at all these things, right? Like they're not going to belabor or speaking to the ADHD piece of all, not get distracted by Instagram or the kids or the dog or work or an email or a ding on their phone. Like,
exactly. They're there There's to do no a job. Baggage.
Exactly.
And exactly. I would just encourage your listeners as well, if they're like, I can't afford that, I can only afford $20 an hour, I would post it, right? Because there's somebody out there that might be a great wage for them if they're just looking for something part-time and flexible. And, you know, you can provide a great work environment and flexibility for them, because it's a lot more than just the pay rate as well.
Right. It is the whole vibe of everything and being good to, treating people well and all that good stuff. And yeah, you just never know. I mean, like I'll say right now, what's going on in LA is there's a writer's strike. So I know, and it's not, and when I say that, you know, people are like, oh, well, a writer's not going to come clean my house. No, probably not. But that writer's assistant or the people who work in payroll for that TV show that is not on the air right now, or, you know what I mean? Like something like that affects the entire community. Like,
yes.
I was even remarking the other day that like, this sounds like so whatever privileged, but like there are restaurants in LA that are impossible to get a reservation at that you can get into now. Because nobody's going out, because the writer's strike has been going on for over a month. So it affects everything. So if there's someone in your life who works in a gig economy, right, or not even in your life, but just there are people looking for these sort of project jobs or a few hours a week jobs, then you can really help someone through a rough time just by saying like, hey, I need someone to come do food prep for me on Sundays or Mondays. You know, it can be very on your schedule as well, like if you're the one posting.
Yeah. And that's a great way to test it out too, right? Just to see like what's going to work for you and the benefit of it. It does take a little while, I want to say though, too, like, you know, somebody's not going to come into your home the first day and know exactly what needs to
be done.
What
would you say like that period is? Is it like a month, 2 months, 3 months?
It really depends on how much effort you put into it. You know, I encourage people like invest the time up front to get that person set up. Obviously, in our company, we have a whole process to make that super easy. But, you know, it's a lot of communication. You know, I have always said I'd be a billionaire if we had the magic wand where we could just figure out what the client needs and do it exactly the way they want. But I would say, you know, you will feel relief right away. Like I can't tell you how many women have said to me as soon as they sign the paperwork, right? Of like, I already feel relieved. But it's going to take a month to really get into any kind of a groove. And then 3 months, you know, before you're starting to feel like, you know, that 80-20 rule of like, okay, it's starting to flip, right? Like I'm getting back 80% of my time. Putting in 20% effort. Like that's the goal. You know,
I love that. I love that that's the goal. The 80-20 is totally the goal. And I think too, something that I had to learn, right? Is that I wanted to be like a nice person and a chill boss. Right. And so back in the day, I used to have a dog walking business. And part of the dog walking was that I would board dogs in my apartment. This is back when I was single. And I had to hire a cleaning person because my home was kind of chaotic. And I remember that was the first time I had ever hired help. And I was very weird about it, to be honest. Like I was very much, I had guilt. I had all this guilt and I was like, oh, am I paying her enough? And I shouldn't ask her to do too much. So she would ask me preferences and I'd be like, oh, whatever you want.
Oh no.
Which is the wrong thing to say. Like, and now I know, now I can say like, you know, there's a compromise that sometimes has to happen, but having zero preferences or giving zero guidance is actually being not a great boss. Not a great person.
Yeah, when you hire the right person, they want to do what's going to make your life easier, what's going to make you feel great. And so it's a gift to give them that feedback. I always joke, like, even if it's something as small as how you like your cucumber sliced, right? Yeah. Like, do you want spears or do you want rounds, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you know that in the wedding industry, like people have preferences.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing I had to think about too, in that same conversation is like, I thought I was making it easier on my person because then they could do whatever they wanted. But really all they were doing was spending way too much time trying to mind read me and and figure out through context clues, because I wouldn't tell them what I really needed. And then ultimately I had to really think that, like, I didn't do enough work on my end to think about what I really wanted and needed and which way I needed it. So that was a lesson learned for, like, all these years now later, to say, like, actually, we like the towels folded this way here.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it's not, it makes it easier for them. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah. And it's mostly just in the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want, you know, women listening thinking, oh my gosh, it's the same as my life where I'm having to manage everybody and tell right. them how, you know, it's just in the very beginning. Yeah. You put in that effort of, like, this is what I want. And if they're good, they're going to remember it and they're just going to start doing it,
yeah,
you know, on their own. So
I love it. So for everyone listening who is like, okay, I'm convinced I need help, I'm going to put out the notice, or I'm going to call someone like you who has an agency. Like, what information, I know we talked a little bit about, like, knowing what to do, but, like, I guess, like, how do you take the first step? What's the first step?
Yeah, I think writing a really good, you know, job ad of, like, what it is. Like, I really like clear communication, and part of what we do is making sure the client knows what they're getting into and the employee knows what they're getting into, and, like, it's all super clear, right? Yeah. To make sure that it's the right fit. Mm-hmm. Putting in that little bit of extra effort is going to create a long-term relationship, which is the, you know, what we're all looking for. So yeah, putting in, like, everything that you want. Like, if you want somebody to scoop the cat litter, put that in, because you don't want to waste anybody's time, right? Yeah. During the process, yeah, of, like, oh shoot, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah, just that communication, put it out there, and start, you know, going through the process of finding the right person. So
yeah, and I would even say, like, just even dial it back slightly from that, because, like, yes, absolutely that, but then also, like, as you're living your life, if you find yourself doing a task thinking, god, I hate this, just, like, stop, take out your phone, open up a note and write, like, things I don't like, yes, doing, because, like, sometimes we're so, like, a muscle memory on something, right, that we're just like, oh, this thing, and, like, you're washing dishes thinking, like, I fucking hate this, but you don't stop to think, like, oh, actually, I don't necessarily need to do this. I could get someone, but in that moment you're like, well, what would they do? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, don't worry about fixing the problem, right? Because that's what we tell our people too, like, even if your personal assistant won't do it, they can help you find the solution.
Exactly. So yeah, I would say take stock of the things you like doing and don't like doing. Just know that, like, that mindset of, like, oh god, I'm hiring someone, like, oh god, that's normal, everyone has it, but the benefit of it far outweighs that feeling you might have of, like, but I should be able to do it myself. That's fiction.
Yes.
It's fiction. Nobody is able to do all of this themselves.
And you don't need to.
No.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. You don't need to. I read something a couple of weeks ago, and I wish I could remember the source. I'll have to find it before this episode goes live, that said something about, like, it was talking about the 5-day work week, right? The 9-to-5 work week. You know, that was created in a time in the world, in the U.S., where primarily men were going to work, and they were supported by a spouse that stayed home and did all of this for them so that they could go out and do a 9-to-5. But now we're in an environment, and I know so many of my listeners, myself included, we're entrepreneurs. There is no 9-to-5. We're married to folks who may or may not have a 9-to-5. They might be entrepreneurs as well. There is no support. There's no baked-in, built-in societal support system anymore. Which is why we have assistants.
Yeah.
It's genius. It really is. It's a different paradigm. We have to get out of this idea that, like, oh, it's 9-to-5 and someone's supposed to be running the house that's one of the two of us. Uh-uh.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
You built a whole business around it, Kara.
Yeah.
where can people find you on the internet?
So the best place is, our website is paseattle.com. And then I love connecting with people on LinkedIn.
Yay.
You know, so I'm on there, my first and last name, or Pepper's personal assistance. We have a page as, yay, well. So
we will link, yeah, to all that in the show notes. So you can go find Kara. If you're in Seattle or local to Seattle, please reach out and get an assistant from Kara. And if not, just check in with her on LinkedIn and get some info. We will link to all those in the show notes. And Kara, you don't just place people in Seattle, right?
Correct. We have a nationwide placement service. So happy to help anybody that doesn't want to do all the legwork.
You're going to get so many emails after this episode, Kara. You're going to be like, all the wedding planners that are like, we're tired. We are tired.
Yes. Happy to help.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Kara. This conversation was fantastic. Listeners, go out and get some help. Just go out and get some help. That's all I have to say. We've said it all. But this is your encouragement. Let me be the voice in your ear that's saying, go hire someone to do your laundry. That's it. Kara, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun chatting with you.
Anytime. And listeners, you know what I'm going to say. Your time is the one thing you cannot make any more of. So we are always so grateful that you spend it with us. We will see you next week. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Talk with Renee Dallow. Dive into the show notes at reneedallow.com/podcast. And connect with Renee at Talk with Renee Dallow on Instagram.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.